This is the Thirsty Developer Podcast, show number one, migrating to Visual Studio 2008. Welcome to the Thirsty Developer Podcast. I'm Dave Bost.
And I'm Larry Clarkin.
So Larry, the Thirsty Developer. What is the Thirsty Developer? What are we doing here?
Well, Dave, in our jobs as evangelists for Microsoft, we go around and we talk to a lot of interesting architects and developers. And they've got some really neat things to say and to share, you know, with other people. The concept of the Thirsty Developer is that we're going to record this stuff in a podcast. We're going to do some live events, you know, all kinds of fun stuff around it. But really the focus of it is to, you know, bring this information that we're hearing every day, you know, to the general public.
Oh, great. So the idea, you know, as developers in our jobs, it's really hard to kind of keep on top of the technology. And the best way for really developers to learn is to learn from one another and really to share those stories, share those experiences. And the whole idea with Thirsty Developers is to kind of bring that to the table, to share those experiences through interviews, through live events, through online medium, what have you. So it's just a way for us to learn as developers. So with that, I guess our first interview here, who are we talking to?
Adam Salvos from Terso Solutions out in Madison, Wisconsin.
And what's Adam doing up in Madison, Wisconsin?
He works for a company that does some interesting hardware-software type combinations, specifically to bring supplies to medical research companies.
Okay, so and why exactly are we talking to Adam?
Well, Adam and the gang at Terso are doing a huge application rollout. They're targeting it for like next April. And right in the middle of this, they decided to upgrade to Visual Studio 2008.
Right in the middle of the project.
Right in the middle of the project. And Before the software was even released. So they actually are going live on Visual Studio 2008, you know, on the beta license.
Okay, so the beta license meaning that there's a certain go live license that they can issue that at least Microsoft will support their efforts even though it's still a beta product.
Right.
Okay, so let's take a listen on that and see how well it went.
Hi, this is Larry Clarkin, and I'm here with Adam Salvo from Terso Solutions. Adam, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
All right. Well, I'm a software engineer here at Terso Solutions. I've been developing professionally for about 5 years and have been with Terso for a little over a year now. I have a Bachelor of Science degree from University of Wisconsin-Madison. I have a MCSD certification through Microsoft, and I pretty much just a general technology guru in general.
So, Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Terso Solutions does? We're actually in your demonstration lab right now, so we can actually, you know, see some of the equipment here. But, you know, tell us what Terso is all about.
Well, Terso Solution, as the name implies, consists of two parts. One is a hosted back-end infrastructure, which has a web front-end, SQL Server database, BizTalk for transaction processing. And what that does is that primarily receives and processes data from our units out in the field, which we like to refer to as intelligent enclosures. And those are primarily RFID-enabled cabinets and freezers that enable a secure point of sale for our customers and their end users.
Yeah, they look like high-tech refrigerators. So what kind of stuff goes in these enclosures?
Well, our parent company, which is our primary customer, Promega, they primarily sell what they call AKP packs, which are small blister packs with vials of liquid in them, and they are primarily for DNA analysis in the life sciences industries. We also have our cabinets contain kits, which just contain larger volumes of the liquid and prep kits and other testing materials.
And so this is targeted at, like, you know, hospitals, universities, people doing a lot of research, but also probably lab work too, right?
Definitely. All those, we have units in all those areas.
Great. And one of the reasons that we're talking about this today is you guys are one of the early adopters of Visual Studio 2008, or Orcas as we used to like to call it. And why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience? You know, right now we're still in the beta 2, you know, part of the life cycle. Just a couple of days ago, they announced that we're heading towards RTM probably before the end of November. So why don't you kind of tell us, you know, where you guys are at right now?
All right. We started a new project back in February, basically redesigning our entire system from the ground up. And we started on Visual Studio 2005, obviously, at that point in time. About August of this year, I made the transition over to Visual Studio 2008 Beta 2 to begin evaluation of that. Probably the key thing that allowed that move was the multi-targeting feature of Visual Studio 2008, which allows us to use the new IDE but still target the 2.0 framework, so that wouldn't impact our development schedule at all.
So your current projects, you know, you're able to do the easy migration over to the to Visual Studio 2008, but still target the .NET Framework 2.0.
Yep, that's exactly what we're doing.
What are your plans as far as going to .NET 3.5, though?
For the most part, the core backend system will probably remain 2.0 for our initial release, which is scheduled in April. We have a lot of testing and debugging to do with that leading up to that. There are a couple of components that we'd like to move over to 3.5 if they're kind of out on the fringe outside of the core, like our transaction processing isn't using our standard business objects. So I'm looking to possibly leverage Link to SQL for those, as well as a lot of our unit tests that don't have business objects associated with them. So for populating our database with test data, I might be looking to use Link to SQL again and other 3.5 features for testing.
What about WCF or WF, you know, any of the other features that were first introduced in 3.0, but now they're, you know, updated for 3.5?
Oh, we are definitely taking use of a lot of the 3.0 stuff. All of our web services are being rewritten for WCF. Our core server piece that talks to our units out in the field used to be a custom VB6 application that ran on the console, and that's now been completely redesigned as a WCF web service. We also have some business-to-business web services that will be written in WCF, primarily exposed with the basic HTTP binding. We also are planning to use the rules engine from Windows Workflow for our transaction processor and other rule scenarios possibly on our website.
Great. So the core of your application is going to be, you know, basically the .NET 2.0 code that's kind of tried and true that you've been working on for several months. But, you know, as appropriate, you're stepping up components that are new in 3.0 and then 3.5.
Yeah, if there's obvious advantages that we can, you know, take advantage of, we'll move to that right away. I'm probably pretty gung-ho about early adopters. Some of my other team members are a little bit more cautious than me, but I'll usually come in on the weekends and try this stuff out ahead of time and see if we can get that pushed over.
So let's talk a little bit about your early adoption process, because, you know, I talked to you, you know, last week, and you said, well, we've completed our migration. You know, now, you know, everybody's running on Visual Studio 2008 Beta 2 under the Go Live license provisions. And so tell us how that migration went.
Well, the first part we did was a TFS migration, which is probably a separate question in and of itself. So I'll stick to the Visual Studio stuff to start with. You know, it pretty much went really smooth. I was running on it for about a month and a half before I started getting the rest of the team members moved over. And during that month and a half, I know I was able to work side by side with them. I was able to work, jump back to Visual Studio 2005 if I needed to for like a BizTalk project or something like that. There's a couple of gotchas we had in there. The solutions got updated for 2008, so I was maintaining two solutions, but developers in our environment maintain their own solution files anyway, so that wasn't that bad. There was a new some new target files that were released with Visual Studio 2008 that the I believe they were for unit testing that I was getting some errors on, so I just copied my new targets folder from the 9.0 folder and put that out on a share and just had everyone install that in the same location on their computer, and that cleared that up. There's a couple new code analysis rules that gave us some errors and a new compiler rule that gave me some compile time issues, but other than that, there weren't that many incompatibilities. It pretty much was the level of compatibility that I was expecting from what I read online.
Okay, so, you know, other than the actual, you know, time to install, because it takes a little while to install Visual Studio 2008, you know, you did like, you know, hours, maybe a couple of days worth of migration, of issues specifically related to migration, you know, not, you know, weeks and months like you would have in the past, you know, maybe stepping up from framework 1.1 to 2.0.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I was up and running and was able to compile, you know, some of our simple projects without making any changes. Once I got a new solution, file built and imported the projects, you know, I had no problems. The biggest issues were when I went to do use the Microsoft testing stuff, is when I ran into some gotchas. And I think one of those issues was even our fault. We had a helper project that was still referencing an old DLL, and I think that was screwing us up. And when everyone else made the move over and we migrated that project fully, that issue cleared up right away. So,
great. Now, you also mentioned that you guys were using TFS, you know, the latest version of Team Foundation Server. And I've talked to many customers who've kind of made the leap, at least, you know, in their testing process to Visual Studio 2008. But you're one of the first guys I've actually met that's actually upgraded the TFS environment. Tell us about that, because that's really a separate question from Visual Studio 2008.
Yeah, we probably had, like, the most unsupported move from 2005 to 2008. We went to a new server in a new environment on a new domain that didn't have any access to the old domain. So a lot of the walkthroughs and stuff and a lot of the tools that are available for doing that migration didn't work out all that well. But I was still able to get that migrated over. It was a couple of late nights, but basically, we started off by migrating our existing 2005 TFS server to 2008 in its existing environment. Once that was updated, we backed up the databases and made the move to the new environment. And that part was actually kind of easy because TFS 2008 was fully backwards compatible with all of the 2005 clients that we were running. So that made that option of upgrading our production server in its existing environment to 2008 a lot easier. Then it was just a matter of installing, you know, TFS 2008 and restoring the databases, and then following bits and pieces of the different upgrade and migration documents that were out there until I got it to the point where everything was working again.
Okay, and once you got everything working, you know, you've been running on it a couple weeks now, you know, no gotchas, you know, not having no talk about falling back to the previous environment?
No, I cut it over kind of unannounced on a Sunday night. I was here till about 1 a.m. and everything looked good, so I just sent out an email saying I'm going to sleep until 9. If there's questions, give me a call, but otherwise I'm using it, everything works, you know, we should be good to go. And we got a small enough team, so I can kind of get away with that kind of stuff. But we're also a small enough team where sometimes you just got to, like, push people to do it and say, all right, we're going to do it right now. Let's go for it.
Okay, and what are your plans, you know, now you're running on the Beta 2 environment, you know, what are your plans when we go RTM, you know, before the end of the month?
I'd probably be we slow down a lot around Christmas, so I'll probably be looking to upgrade like TFS over Christmas, just because since it is a production server, I kind of have to do it after hours, and I'd rather not be here till 4 in the morning like I was one night. So I'd rather just if no one else is here working on it, I can, you know, do it like at like 4 o'clock, you know, over Christmas.
4 p.m. not 4 a.m.
Yeah, 4 p.m. you know, everyone kind of leaves a little early. So from what I've read, it's going to be upgradable without any issues from Beta 2 to RTM. I did a lot of research in that. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to have to wipe the server and start over again. And everything I've read said that it should just be able to apply, do an in-place upgrade, and pick up where you left off.
Great. And let's wrap up with, you know, me asking you a couple questions. The first one will be, what are the top three things that attracted you to being an early adopter in Visual Studio 2008? So specifically, you know, what features were compelling enough to make you stay up till, you know, 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. and to do this upgrade, you know, before the RTM?
I think the multi-targeting, which basically enabled us to move early, was, you know, the key reason to early adopt. It gave us that that tool or that reason to get over to the new system without slowing down our development time, because we're on a pretty tight schedule. You know, there's a lot of new features in the IDE that I wanted to be able to take advantage of, and, you know, get my team taking advantage of some of those features. such as the split view in design mode, the view changes using annotate code, little things like right-click support for resolving types and organizing your using statements is great. The unit tests and for the compact framework is now included, and unit tests in general are now available at the professional SKU level, which is also attractive to us.
Great. And you didn't mention Link, though.
I did not mention that. I was primarily going for the IDE stuff. Link is definitely something that we want to take advantage of. There's a couple of components in our new system that we might be able to leverage in this release cycle. And definitely something we'll want to reevaluate after this release cycle and move into it. Because it's hard to keep maintaining stored procedures over and over again, and the disconnect between, you know, your business objects and your relational database is something that Link looks like it'll help us solve.
Okay, and finally, you know, what kind of cautions would you give, you know, if somebody's listening to this podcast and they're, you know, considering the upgrade, you know, things that you would have done differently?
Well, the Visual Studio migration was fairly painless. I'd say just go for it. You know, if you want to do it over a weekend or whatever, you know, that's fine too. It installs side by side, so there's no problems there. I don't think it's crashed on me once. I think Visual Studio 2005 has crashed on me more than 2008 since I installed it. So I think it's extremely stable for a beta 2, and they probably could have just RTM'd on beta 2. For TFS, you know, it really depends on, you know, if you're just upgrading your production server in place, or if you're like us and you've got to move domains and servers and whatnot. And, you know, I think the TFS one probably takes a little bit more planning. I was lucky in that we're running on ESX server from VMware, so I was able to just take a snapshot of it. So if I really screwed up, I could just roll that back pretty easily. So,
great. Adam, I know you've written up a lot of the, you know, trials and learnings that you've had on your blog. You want to share the blog address with us?
Yeah, it is blog.salvos.com. That's my last name, S-A-L-V-O-Z.com. And I got all the notes I took when migrating TFS to 2008. And I usually post a couple times a week on various programming, technology stuff.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer. For more information, visit thirstydeveloper.com. We'll see you next time.